Ladies and gentlemen, WrestleMania just wrapped up, and this is the second episode of Podzilla 1985. My name is Shannon Young. I am here with, as always, my guest host, Zach Price. We got Jordan Lowry with us today from Penta Nerd, Jesse Kimball, who is a great sport after everything we said about him on the first podcast. Glad you're here, too. Guys.
Yeah, fuck you, Shannon.
WrestleMania is over. Wow. What did you think?
Fucking great.
I'm on fire right now. Jesse, you're not a big wrestling fan. You didn't seem that interested through most of the show, but that main event.
Oh, that main event.
Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. Or it was more of an execution, really.
Yeah, it's really true. Like, had Seth Rollins not come in, like that Roman Reigns would have died that night.
Yeah, and of course, the big story, Roman Reigns does not win the title. Everyone thought he was going to. It was a sure thing. Did not happen. Brock Lesnar did not leave with the title. Seth Rollins cashed it in. That is going to be our top story. We're going to save that a little bit. I want to go over the show just as a whole. We talked about this earlier. We were going to rate it, I think we said it, 3.5 stars out of 5. Main event was fantastic. The rest of the show was kind of there. Some good, some bad. Zach, you are like a dog getting ready to get off the leash. Tell me what you thought.
Oh, my God. I thought the entire show was amazing. I mean, there were a couple points where the crowd wasn't into it, so it kind of felt a little lackluster. But overall, I thought it was amazing. And I said this on the last podcast that I thought, you know, no matter who comes out the winner, somehow the fans will be going home happy. And I truly think through the entire show they went home ecstatic and happy.
And I thought that was impossible. You and I talked about that last night with Hunter Hendricks and Louis Benson, who could not be here, unfortunately. But I know they're watching from home. I think they're as excited as we are about the main event.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think they could go home happy. We all thought Reigns was going to win. Reigns did not win. I've never seen a crowd so ecstatic. Jordan, you were on the edge of your seat the entire time. What did you think about that main event?
The main event was by far the best part of the night. Did not see anything like that. Did not plan on Seth Rollins cashing in.
No, that was...
At least not like that.
No, not like that. We talked about it last night. Hunter, you know, himself said... Or not last night, a couple nights ago. Hunter said he thought Reigns was gonna win the title. What did he say, Lesnar?
He said Lesnar wins, and then the authority
Rollins
was going to help them.
Which I said Rollins was going to wait till Monday to pull the trigger on that. I was wrong.
And he made it a triple threat.
Didn't even
wait for the match to end.
Which we were sitting there watching it, and we're just like, oh my God, Reigns is taking an ass whooping. There's no way Lesnar's going to lose this match. How is he going to lose this match? We're all pissed off because we think we know the outcome. Jesse Kimball, you called it. You said Rollins is going to come out. He's gonna pin somebody. He's going to make it a triple threat match. And then you said, can he do that? And then fucking Seth Rollins' music hits up. And here comes Seth Rollins to win it all.
That was my favorite part of that because, you know, me as a non-wrestling fan, that was great for me because especially, you know, that quote, can he do that?
Yeah.
Because, like, that's what I think should happen.
Well, I'm going to make him a wrestling expert now. Because it seems like every pay-per-view, he picks the stupidest predictions, and they always fucking happen.
Yeah, we made the mistake of, what was it, Royal Rumble? Or one of the matches, we said, hey, pick Cena. He can't win. Cena won. We lost money. Not that we were doing betting here at the store. You know, that's, of course, a bad idea. The best part about the main event, I know I can't stop talking about the main event because the rest of the show I really don't care about. You know what? Let's stop on the main event for a second. Let's go back to the show. The pre-show, we talked about this on the first episode. I was disappointed that they pushed the Andre the Giant Battle Royal to the pre-card. Hated it because I thought this is a huge match. We agreed on this. This is a huge match. This should not be on the pre-card. Turns out the match was terrible. It was god-awful. And I made a prediction on the last show. You people said, everyone said Mizdow. Mizdow, Mizdow, Mizdow. I said Big Show. I didn't want to say Big Show, and I was right. What did you think about Big Show winning?
I fucking hated it.
It was terrible.
I mean, I like that he won because he basically was the next big person after Andre.
Yeah.
Left. So I kind of feel like they gave a homage to him, and he kind of got his respect that he deserved because he never really had a WrestleMania moment. And
he's had plenty of WrestleMania moments. He lost to Akebono. He lost to Floyd Mayweather.
I like what Mizdow did. It was a great thing. Turned on the Miz. One disappointment in the whole thing, hyping up Curtis Axel so much to literally have everybody in the Rumble pick him up and throw him out in the first minute being the first elimination, that pissed me off.
Which was terrible, but to be fair, you knew Curtis Axel wasn't going to win anyway.
I thought he should have lasted longer, though.
Yeah, but he was going to lose no matter what. At least this way, you're going to be talking about this. You're going to say, did you see Curtis Axel at WrestleMania get thrown out? Everybody took him out. He at least had something to do. My guy, Zack Ryder, did you even see him? I think I saw him for like 2 seconds. And I don't even remember who threw him out. It was Big Show, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Big Show did eliminate like half the people.
He
in
took
the
most
ring,
people out,
so
including Hideo Itami. Which was the guy from NXT that won, and I thought, oh, they're going to push this guy like crazy. You know, Rusev did it at the Royal Rumble a couple years ago. They brought Rusev out. No one knew who Rusev was. Rusev does whatever. He throws 30 people out at the Royal Rumble and looks great. Not for Itami. Itami, you were here for that, I believe. I don't know how much you were paying attention, Jesse. But Hideo Itami thrown out by the Big Show like he was garbage, which goes back to the Royal Rumble when Big Show and Kane threw out all the new guys. Does that send a message to you that, hey, you guys aren't ready for this? This is still the Big Show's yard. We're going to rely on the old stars more than the new stars. Does that sound right to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it looked like to me. It looked like they really just... They are following a system of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
And they're not setting anybody up for a replacement. They're just keeping these legends just rehashed over and over again.
Yeah.
Just like, well, the Giant obviously can't lose to these new guys. Like, they've never heard of passing the torch or, you know, handing over the reins or whatever you want to call it. It just seems like they keep, like, relying on these guys that are falling to pieces because they're 97 years old.
Yeah, they're old as shit. And speaking of old as shit, we'll get to the Sting Triple H match here in a second, because I got a lot to say about that motherfucker. We'll talk about the tag match, too. One thing I do want to point out about the Battle Royal, though, before we move on from this, Mizdow and Miz. They finally got their moment. Mizdow throws Miz over right at the very end when it's those two versus the Big Show. Mizdow throws over the Miz. He goes one-on-one with the Big Show. For a second, it looks like Mizdow is going to get his WrestleMania moment, and they're going to set him up as a major star. He's going to get the giant push that Cesaro didn't get last year. And then the Big Show pissed all over it. Jordan, what are your thoughts on Mizdow? I mean, do you think he got his WrestleMania moment, or do you think he got screwed?
I think he got screwed, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see where his character goes from here, because he's associated so much with right. Miz, and everybody loves you know him being the stunt double, but
it's yeah, who is he now? Is he Damian Sandow again? Is he the Miz now? Who you know?
That's a good question.
I don't know where they would have gone with it if Miz did win, but or Mizdow won, but they have no fucking option for Big Show winning now. Where are they gonna go from that?
No, Big Show's gonna do the same thing he always does. He's gonna put down new talent. He's the Big Show. He is a attraction.
Yeah,
he's an attraction. He's somebody that you go to see because he's 7'4", 962 pounds.
There was. I mean, he's about due for another turn, right? Like, he should be going back face anytime.
I'm surprised he didn't turn at the Rumble and eliminate himself so Mizdow could win, you know? I mean...
Also, I hate you guys because I know what those terms mean.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to point out, Jesse, we've been schooling him on some wrestling terms. The work rate, the pushes, the pops, the heat... it's always fun to talk about.
There is one more thing I want to put out the Battle Royale that was actually really nice. Seeing Alex Riley back in the ring.
Well, and we didn't know that was Alex Riley at first.
We couldn't tell who it was.
Who is this guy that's just sitting in the middle of the ring? And we finally saw his tights said Riley. And in my head, I started going through a virtual data bank of wrestlers. Yeah. Riley. Of course, it didn't really matter because he got thrown out.
But he looked pretty good, though.
He did look good, and I hope he gets to wrestle more.
He looked happy. Like he looked like he was... Well, amped up for the match.
He doesn't want to do commentary. That's what they've said. He wants to do actual wrestling. He's tired of doing commentary. Mm-hmm. The next match, that was the second match on the show, I think. It actually started with the tag title match. And not a lot to really say on it, because it was exactly like we said. Cesaro and Kid won, but it was a good match.
It was. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was.
I mean, either. I thought it was going to be awful.
The only reason it was so good is because there's so many people in the match that it didn't have a spot where it could stop and build anything. It just kept going.
Yeah.
What really threw me off is how was there no disqualification when three people who weren't in the match, four people actually.
That was the entire show. It's like they might as well have called this. They said next month is Extreme Rules. It's the one time a year the WWE gets Extreme. And I don't, the refs were either blind or they replaced them with NFL refs. I don't know. But they didn't see half the shit that went down.
There was that one match, we'll get to it later, where the guy just sat there and it happened. There was an interference, and the ref just went there in awe. Mouth open, just wide-eyed, looking at him.
I think that was most of the matches. When Naomi and one of the Usos, I can't tell which one it is, when they jumped over the top rope. Oh, and the midget. The midget did something.
I think you should say midget.
We've gone over this. Midget, small person, dwarf. I don't know.
I did like when he was tapping out, like, outside.
Oh, to Natalya?
To Natalya.
Which, speaking of Natalya, worth getting the replay alone just for Natalya's outfit. Jesus Christ.
And they had a huge reaction from the crowd during that, in, just between Naomi and Natalya. And Naomi looked good with her, what's that name called?
The Rear View.
The Rear View?
I enjoyed
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
Who like, does not enjoy the Rear View? That
But it was executed,
good.
Like,
it was great.
Good.
It was good. It
looked
the whole match was good. They had that one really scary spot where they did a...
it was a six-man,
six-man, three-stack suplex off the top rope. I mean, it was a super-duper plex.
And I thought one of the Mexicans was going to die.
Lots of matadors, yeah.
It looked real bad.
He looked like he crashed and burned real bad. Not quite as bad as Roman Reigns crashed and burned. We're going to get to that here in a little bit. But Kidd and Cesaro retained. Good match. It was a good start to the show. The Battle Royal kind of brought it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Once we got into the actual show, I forget, what was the first
ladder match?
They started with the IC ladder match.
Which is a surprise.
And it was a good match, but it wasn't great.
It just had a lot of high points.
Yeah.
A lot of like, oh shit moments.
Big spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those things that it was exactly like you thought it was going to be. They went in, it was a car wreck, bodies are going all over the place. There wasn't a real story to it, but that's kind of the point of these matches.
How many of those wrestlers that were in that match have been in the ladder matches before? Because you could tell that some of them were like...
Knew more about the other.
What the fuck do I do right now? Like, when Luke Harper had the ladder around his neck...
Yeah, and he was swinging it around.
It didn't look pretty.
No.
Because he was just so late, and everybody was like, already had their hands up, and they're halfway down before he even touches them.
That's the Bubba Ray Dudley spot that they used to do, and he did it well.
He did it well, but this guy had you obviously never done
it. Luke Harper's, no, he might have got it caught on his beard, too.
But it would have slid right off because of the chicken grease.
A lot of chicken grease in there. I don't know if we had a chicken grease count on him for this this
event. I
couldn't
say there's so much sun to tell. If he
and his shirt was a little darker, too, so it was hard to tell the chicken.
No, you can still see that grease spot. Like, yeah. It went all the way down
like
to his fucking belly button.
I like how Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper didn't dress the same this match either.
No, because they were getting them confused.
So,
yeah.
So he gave one a black tank top this time.
Speaking of Dean Ambrose, one thing I do want to talk about that match, that spot where he got powerbombed.
Did we ever hear anything more about him? Because it looked like he died.
No, but if you look at the replay, I mean, I think I saw he was just bleeding out the back.
There was a
five
lot of
refs,
a lot of blood on this show, which is really surprising because the WWE has a really, really tight no blood policy.
I think it was all organic, though. I don't think none of it was.
No, it wasn't no blading. It looks like it just happened,
is good because it looks real.
Right. Well, there's a legitimacy, like we talked about on the last podcast. If you didn't get to watch the pay per view, I'm sure they'll show some kind of replay of it. But Dean Ambrose takes a power bomb. Over the top rope, through a ladder, which broke in half, and Dean Ambrose was out of the match. I don't think he came back at all. Refs were checking on him. It was a scary moment, and that's exactly what you expect for this kind of match, is people to get hurt, and I hate to say it, but that's kind of what the crowd wanted.
And that ladder just didn't break in half. It literally, like, it wasn't just bent. It was literally in two different pieces.
Yeah, it tore in half. Daniel Bryan picks up the victory, which we pretty much assumed.
Had a crappy bat. Did you remember that? It was just a headbutt for 30 seconds on top of
the ladder. Oh, yeah. Him and Ziggler just headbutted each other for 10 minutes straight. And I guess since they call Daniel Bryan the GOAT, clearly that's a battle
you didn't want
to go. Yeah, well, you know, that's why I'm the moderator.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. I'm a wrestling historian. But like I said, Daniel Bryan wins. Cool moment later where he's back there. He's greeted by all the old Intercontinental Champions. Roddy Piper was there. Ricky Steamboat was there.
Pat Patterson.
Pat Patterson.
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart, which was awesome, sort of.
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair was there, too.
He was drunk. He was there.
He probably still thought he was back in TNA. He was looking for the... for Dixie Carter to get some more money because he can't afford his apartment anymore. And then Ron Simmons comes in. We all thought he was going to say yes, which would have been cool.
But they were all saying yes already.
Right. But instead he said damn like always. And that was kind of the point of this pay-per-view is you knew what was going to happen because it was so obvious. And then you hope that they were going to do something different, and they didn't for the most part, except the main event, which we will talk about in a few minutes. Jordan, what we got next? What was up next?
The Orton-Rollins match, in my book, was one of the top matches of the entire night.
Well, it's good because they're both good wrestlers.
They're fantastic wrestlers.
Yeah. There's not really a lot to say about that match other than it was good.
It was I think it was the second best match on the show. Part.
That final spot. Oh, my God. This was a show full of spots. Like, this is one of those shows where even if the matches weren't great, there was one spot in each match that made it worth it. The one we're talking about right now, Seth Rollins goes for the curb stop on Randy Orton. Randy Orton lifts him up, throws him up into the air, and then hits an RKO out of it. And we jumped up and screamed. It was so awesome.
He didn't just throw him up in the air. He literally, Seth Rollins put his foot on Randy Orton's back, and Randy Orton just pushes him up.
Yeah.
That just fucking popped crazy.
Him up. Like, he went, like, 6 feet in the air easy.
Yeah, and like, we all literally jumped out of our seats yelling, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I think I made the roof, and I'm not that tall.
It was one of the first moments of the night where we all just went like, oh, my God.
That and was we got awesome. Scared because we thought that was going to, like, set the tone. We thought that was going to be the best, like,
the best
a big them. Highlight of the match. And we're like, shit, there goes the rest of the show.
Well, I thought you were going to say we were scared because...
No, not like only were we scared, but I'm saying, like, we thought the show was just going to go downhill from there.
Well, yeah, but that was also, like, the third time in the night where they did something that made you go, oh, my God, is he okay?
Oh, my God.
You know, yeah. Legitimately thought he was going to hurt himself. But Orton's and Rollins, good match, great ending. What do we got next, Jordan?
Your favorite, Sting and Triple H.
Oh,
let's
why would
get
they make
into
that
this.
Third match?
Well, that as soon as I saw that, I got scared. I thought they're going to fuck this up. I know they're going to fuck this up. Sting did not get the Scarecrow intro, so it
which
was
which is kind of good.
It is good because once you saw that Scarecrow intro
in the daylight,
looked awful and stupid.
It looked they looked good. But they were cool if it was dark.
Yeah, kinda, if it was dark, that would have been awesome looking.
They were kind of doing the Michael Jackson zombie walk, which
don't refer wrestling to that.
What Michael Jackson? Sting versus Triple H. It was actually a pretty decent match considering Sting is I think 56,
but
and
he looked good.
He looked good. In the beginning. Now, towards the later end of the match, once his hair stopped being suction cupped behind his ears.
He looked like he started looking like Beetlejuice towards the end.
Yeah. He looked a little bit like Bozo the Clown.
Yeah.
Fucking like three-way split hair going.
With the giant bald spot right on top. And man, that was the point I realized Sting was old. Like, I mean, seriously, I'm not saying this to be funny. It's at that moment you get that little realization of mortality when you realize he's almost 60. I think of him as Sting, big superhero. He's got the bat. He's beating up the NWO. I'm a young kid. I'm watching this. I'm excited. The world's in front of me. Now you realize he's 56 years old. He's good for his age. Got a bald spot in the back of his head. I'm 32. What am I doing now? You know, but that's a little depressing. We'll get that dark on it.
I was really thrown off by his entrance. You know, it had like a Japan feel.
Yeah,
like basically,
yeah, it was really weird.
Did he have like a history in New Japan Wrestling or Japan back in the day? Because he came out even like he didn't have his trench coat, which was really took away from the match for me.
Well, it was like a modified, like it looked like his a trench coat, but in the style of a kimono.
Yeah, yeah. And
it was really weird.
And
looking.
It was red.
It really took it sparkly.
Yeah, I feel like with Sting, the more freedom you give him and the bigger the event he goes to, the more outlandish his outfits
maybe
become.
He was trying to go back to his old before he became the Crow Sting.
Oh, when he was Surfer Dude?
Back when he had all his colors. Maybe he was trying to go back to that a little bit, trying to bring back a little bit of a, hey, I've not only been like Crow Sting, but I've been this bright colored.
And it looked good. I mean, I thought it worked well. The intro was a little weird. They had a bunch of Japanese drums out there. They're banging away. We thought that was going to be the goofiest intro of the night because it made no sense. And then Triple H came out and fucking blew your mind. We mentioned this on the last podcast that they had been talking about doing a Terminator intro.
And they did.
And they really fucking did it. And it was fucking awesome. I don't care what anyone says.
I loved every bit of that Terminator
intro.
Not
only did they just have Terminators on their entrance, they had a whole Terminator promo
Before
they even got to the fucking stage.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, with Arnold in it.
I mean, they played the Terminator music, which is awesome. The title music from the Terminator. They had Arnold say it was Judgment Day, which was fucking badass. They had actual Terminators on the stage.
Who rose like 6 feet
who
off.
Who rose up out of the ground.
And they kept rising.
And then Triple H comes out. He's got a Terminator. He's got his barbarian outfit on, but it's been modified. He's got the cybernetic eye. He's got the steel. He looks like a Terminator barbarian. The intro was better than the match, easily. What really pisses me off about this, and what I'm going to fucking harp on, is the booking of this match. I don't understand
it.
You bring Sting back. You build him up. WCW versus WWE. This guy's six-time WCW champion. He's important. He's the best. And then you have him lose to Triple H. For what reason? I don't understand.
To stack McMahon's ego would be my guess.
That's all it is. That's all it is. Vince McMahon needs to feel validated that he beat WCW.
Like, Ray, you remember when you took out that only rival you had? Yeah, that happened.
Here's a reminder
that it happened.
We're going to pay Sting a shitload of money to come and lose to Triple H because fuck you, that's why.
And not only did Triple H just beat him, he had... Who booked the idea of bringing all these old...
The old factions.
I understand it. Like, you bring out DX, you bring out Road Dogg, X-Pac, and...
Billy Gunn. Mr. Ass.
And then you're like, okay...
His thing is he has an
who's
ass.
Gonna, who's gonna help out Sting? NWO. Where half... Two of the people in NWO that came out were Razor Ramon... Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, who are part of the Click, who the night before at the Hall of Fame had a big special moment with the fucking Click.
With Triple H, with Shawn Michaels, And then, well, I guess you're supposed to suspend belief because the NWO, but I think it was Asa made this great point. So the NWO comes out to help Sting after DX comes out to help Triple H. What doesn't make sense from a storyline standpoint is who was Sting in WCW? He was the savior against the NWO. Yes. In his promo packages before WrestleMania, he talked about how he lost WCW to a broken authority. And they showed the NWO. Now you have the NWO coming out to help him?
And I thought the whole time they were going to turn on him.
It would have made sense. That's the only way it would have made sense. But no. Instead, DX... NWO Brawl, Hulk Hogan was out there. Now, that was my favorite part. Thank God, Hulk Hogan was out there.
And this was the part I was talking about where the ref is just, like, in shock where everybody's interfering with everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything. No. Doesn't do anything. In fact, that's what I was pissed off about. Triple H hits Sting in the face with a sledgehammer right in front of the referee. Ref does nothing. I get it. It's wrestling. It's fake. But don't insult our intelligence. If you're a referee, this is your fucking job. One thing they did have, and Jordan, I know you got a point here, but I want to make this real quick. Shawn Michaels comes out out of nowhere. Didn't even see him. I didn't know he was there.
The crowd just went crazy. The
crowd goes nuts. He super kicks Sting, stares at him, and it was one of those stares that it kind of looked like he was doing more than just hitting him and leaving him. I think, and I'm really thinking this, WrestleMania 32, Sting versus Shawn Michaels. One more time. They've never fought. Sting was always in WCW. Shawn Michaels was always in WWE. Triple H was in WCW a long time ago as Terror Rising. Look that up if you haven't, because that was an awesome gimmick.
You're going out on a limit here?
I think they're going to do Sting versus Shawn Michaels. Jordan, you had a point there.
Well, back to your point, I think when he grabbed the sledgehammer, I'm not for sure, I'd have to go back and look at it. He may have looked at the ref and said, this is now a no DQ match.
Which he has the authority to do, because he is the authority. And if you haven't seen it, you can catch the replay on the WWE Network. $9.99 a month, no commitment. They didn't push that down our throats as much as I thought they were going to.
I like how you added that disclaimer at the end of it. Because it certainly was every 10 minutes instead of, I guess, every 37 seconds.
Every 5 minutes. You know? But in case you can't tell, Triple H beat Sting, thereby ruining the entire build-up, ruining any hope. Like, oh, even if Shawn Michaels... The only way they can do Sting now is if you fight Shawn Michaels. Anything less is ridiculous and worthless. I'm going to talk about this more in the future because this really pissed me off. But I want to move on to the next match. I want to talk about... fuck, who was even... I'm so pissed off I can't even think who was after
that. The Hall of Fame next after that?
Give Divas a chance.
Fuck that.
Let me talk about it. I was hoping for this to be a good match because they hyped it up really well. I didn't... In the last podcast, Hunter Hicks talked about the promo on SmackDown between Paige and AJ and the Bellas. And I didn't expect it. And I went home and actually watched it. It was actually really fucking
It was good.
It was really good.
It was good.
And
what did that get them? 6 minutes.
I was about to say, didn't you lose a bet because that was shorter?
Yeah,
than...
and we didn't even get to watch the match because we actually went over to the store across from our studio, wink, wink, and picked up a couple of drinks for the event because we have this big party going at WrestleMania. We come back, match is over. Was the match any good? I don't know.
Let us talk about it.
Zach, what was it?
There was some spots where it was a typical Divas match, but there was some spots where it really got pretty, like, Nikki Bella is starting to get really stiff. She looks stiff
in the
match.
She gets me stiff.
And then there was a part where really Paige is on the apron, kicks Brie Bella in the face, takes her and chucks her into the stairs. And it's not like one of those combos she hits most of the like the part of the stairs with her shoulder.
No.
She actually hit like the fucking corners of the steps. And it looked like, holy shit, she's probably hurt. I think it was a pretty decent match.
Well, they said it came out. I don't remember where I saw the story breaking. It was probably PW Insider because I go there quite a bit. But they were talking about how, based on the reaction the Divas have been getting lately, they're thinking about giving Divas a chance. Like, they're going to reevaluate the way they treat the Divas and maybe give them more TV time, give them more airtime to speak, to cut some more promos. I thought that meant they were going to get a huge match at WrestleMania, but they didn't. 6 minutes, AJ and Paige won.
Jordan, you watched the match with me. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, I don't understand how you have a four-hour WrestleMania and you have a 7-minute Divas match. Whatever.
Well, that's because they had to devote, 40 minutes to The Rock?
Which I'm going to get to right now.
And you guys didn't like that, but I did.
I thought it was cool. The only thing that made it cool was Ronda Rousey. The Rock comes out, or actually Triple H and Stephanie come out. They cut this promo about how awful the fans are and how they own us and we're worthless. And I think that was legit. I think they meant every word they said on that, but they said it was a promo. So it, you know, makes it look like it's fake. But I don't think it was. I think they meant every word of it. The Rock comes out for his WrestleMania appearance to promote Fast 7, 8, whatever.
They didn't even speak of Fast 7. There was nothing to do. I think he was just to give the fans. you expected him to be at the Roman Reigns thing. I like that he came out at this point. I enjoyed the Rock part.
Well, I think that the Rock, I mean, he belongs at WrestleMania. He's a big part of WrestleMania, but, you know, should they have devoted 40 minutes to him to do it?
And especially the way it ended. I like that they had Ronda Rousey out there. And if you didn't see it, look it up. She hip tosses.
Oh, Triple my God. H, that was amazing.
Amazing. But then she takes Stephanie.
Puts her just, in an arm bar.
No, not an arm bar. She just, like, twisted her arm as she's standing up. She throws her on the ground, picks her back up, puts it in it, and then just lets her go.
But to be fair, I truly believe that probably hurt like a son of a bitch. I think because it's Ronda Rousey doing it.
But I really right. I think it would be cooler if she went for like a slap and she missed it. And then Ronda Rousey like hit her, but didn't really hit her, and made it look cool.
Yeah. I don't think that Ronda Rousey though would know how to fake that kind right. of hit.
It's like she's like the Brock Lesnar of women,
right? Yeah, like I was actually half expecting her to just rip Stephanie's like arm out of socket
and start beating her with it, like in Mortal Kombat.
Right? Like I saw that happen. I really wanted it to happen. Sadly, it didn't.
It just didn't. But I lost it because after what The Rock said that he was going to do to her,
I loved that.
He said he was going to.
I know that look stuff, and if you don't stop right now, she's going to reach across.
Down your throat.
With your fallopian tubes. That was,
and then she just holds her in the arm. I bet it did hurt, but it didn't look cool.
It was a good segment. The bad thing is, and most of the shit that happened at this pay-per-view, it leads to nothing. Sting lost. It'll lead to nothing. Unless it leads to Shawn Michaels, it was pointless.
He did
an interview
2 days ago. He says, this is probably, he's like, I'll consider it. I might talk about it, but I'm not going
to
do it.
Why come back for one more match just to get fucked over like that? It makes no sense. They better do something with it. Just like with Ronda Rousey, nothing will come of it. Dana White will probably, I don't know, punish her or something. I just don't know. It left a bad taste in my mouth. It did lead to, I think, what was that? It was Wyatt and Undertaker was right after it.
Can we talk about the Hall of Fame for a second? Because there was a second.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Hall of Fame. It was cool. Macho Man got inducted. I loved it.
Rikishi.
What's that?
Rikishi.
Rikishi. I
Kevin
like Rikishi.
Nash.
Kevin Nash was pretty good.
Larry Zbysko. Alondra Blaze.
There was a Japanese wrestler, and I don't remember his name, and I feel bad about that, because as I understand, he's a great wrestler. Connor, of course.
That's the big one.
Yeah, I mean, that.
If you're not a wrestling fan, and you
the,
type
the Connor
in,
thing is great.
Go look up the YouTube video, type in Connor the Crusher or WWE, look it up. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, you will get touched by this because it really does speak about what wrestling does for certain people.
Yeah.
Everybody has a thing they go to for depression.
Yeah.
And wrestling gets dogged on a lot.
Yeah.
If you go look at this video, you'll understand that this means a lot to a lot of people.
Well, look at the intro promo that they had before the show. They do a lot for charity. I mean, they do a lot for people. Everyone, you know, we piss all over wrestling because it pisses us off so bad when Sting fucking loses. But for the most part, I mean, Vince McMahon does a lot of good.
He does a lot of good.
He takes pity on a lot of people, including The Undertaker, which is the only way I can figure out The Undertaker won against Bray Wyatt, which is what I want to talk. Oh, Rusev's scene, I forgot about that.
Can we just avoid that match entirely?
No, I liked it. We talked about this
before the show. We wanted to keep this to 30 minutes because, you know, with the last show, we went an hour and 40 and didn't mean to.
We're going to go 30 minutes this time?
We're already at 30 minutes. I say let's go for 45 at the latest because there's still some things I want to cover. And the fact that, I mean, we own the network. We own the Podzilla network. Who fucking cares? No, we can't slap hands though. It'll hit the mic.
They would know what it means.
All right, one little one. Okay. Rusev and Cena, let's jump into that. Everyone.
Rusev came out in a tank.
He came out in a fucking tank.
I loved the tank.
With soldiers.
Okay, yeah, that part was kind of cool.
And he shot him.
He shot the tank.
He fucking shot him.
And it would have taken that tank to beat John Cena because, of course, spoiler, John Cena wins, as John Cena always does.
Which is, okay.
That's a spoiler.
Either way, this was going to be good whoever won. I understand you guys don't like that. One, because if Rusev would have kept the title,
it's just like Sting. It's pointless.
I don't think
you know.
It just sets up a feud.
If he gets over,
already over.
Well, we talked about it with Bray Wyatt versus John Cena last year. Same thing. If Wyatt had gotten Cena back, yeah, but he didn't. Wyatt got nothing. He got fucked.
Is it because like WWE, you know, the last longest running feud they had, and don't count like the one where who was it? John Cena and Rock had a feud for a year, but The Rock was hardly ever there.
I like that.
But it wasn't like they weren't there every week. The last longest running feud I remember was 2008, Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho.
And it was a good feud.
Yeah, and that, if you listen to their interviews, it wasn't because Vince wanted it to be like a month, and Shawn Michaels was like, no, we're going to make it longer than that. And each week they came up with something new, and the company kind of let them do it. It seems like now it's like almost like just one and done. One pay-per-view, you're done.
Well, do you think Rusev's going to get his revenge?
I think he will.
Do you think he's going to take the title back from Cena? No.
I think
it's not going to happen.
Not soon. I think
not soon.
I think he'll win and lose.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're frustrated.
It's so hard. I thought it was interesting because if you looked at it, it was John Cena, America, America, and Rusev, Russia, Russia, Russia.
Right.
Rusev got cheered. John Cena got booed out of the building with John Cena sucks.
Yeah, maybe it's because they have a foreign market that they were all Russian that were there. Maybe they were really supporting. No,
it would be really cool if Vince would have had Putin there in the ring.
Yeah, never happened. If they could even find Putin.
I mean, yeah, I was about to say, I thought last I heard Putin was still
MIA.
Yeah.
Russo's in touch with him, don't worry.
I know Asa, who couldn't be here again.
Fuck you, Asa.
Nah, you know what? We'll go easy on Asa this time.
Asa had a rough day.
He had a rough day.
He knows I mean love.
But he was so upset. Does he, because
do you?
Yes.
Rusev got hit with one finisher and was done. John Cena took multiple finishers, kicked out every time.
Super Cena.
I feel like they buried Rusev. Now, we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. And we'll come back to this. Maybe on the next wrestling podcast, we'll talk about this again.
Only thing I want to say is I like how the title is getting...
legit. Even,
whoever would have won this match, the title is getting its legitimacy.
Prestige.
That's what I like about this match. It's the only thing I really like. The title's looking good.
And it was a good match.
Yes.
It was a good match. Rusev and Cena can put on a good show. I mean, they absolutely can. Speaking of a good show, but maybe not a good match, Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt.
It's just because the crowd was
The crowd was not into it. The crowd, except for when the Undertaker first came out, because the crowd popped in. But we talked about this. How bad was their intros with lighting, Jesse?
It was awful.
It was bad.
It get completely, because their whole shtick for each of them is darkness.
Right.
Like they both come out in pitch black. And you know, my understanding is that Bray Wyatt is supposed to be the Undertaker of the new generation.
The face of fear. Face of fear. Yeah.
And like his whole thing, you know, he comes out in darkness, everything's really creepy. He's got the lantern, he's blowing that shit out. Like, I'm digging it. It's cool, it's creepy, he's cult leader.
Right.
And then but in the daylight,
he was just
this fat guy walking down the thing with like an unnecessary lantern bringing scarecrows to life.
And the scarecrows. I said it was gonna be for Bray Wyatt. Hunter doubted me, so that's one up. That's what's like five up on Hunter.
Hunter.
So I'm not gonna say fuck Hunter because I want him back on the show. But the scarecrows looked awful. They came out, they danced, sort of.
It was like watching The Walking Dead.
Which I'm sure a lot of people were watching The Walking Dead tonight instead of WrestleMania. Because it was the season finale tonight, wasn't it?
You got me.
Like, I'm almost positive.
I know that happened recently, if not tonight, then last week.
You know that the WWE knows where they're going to have their WrestleMania year in advance.
Right.
They know that in the Bay Area,
it's going to be light.
It's going to be fucking bright.
Yeah.
I understand they want to end every show at the exact same time. Over here it's 10. Over in the East Coast, you know, it's 11. Wouldn't they just, you know, push the match back or the show back 1 hour
to make
it dark?
Well, they probably thought it doesn't matter. Crowd's going to react the same way. But I thought it took away a lot from that match. The mystique was not there. One good thing, though, is Undertaker looked good. We talked about this on the last episode. How is the Undertaker going to look? He looked good. He had hair. He was buff.
I wouldn't say he looked good. He looked better than last year.
Last year he looked awful.
But he didn't look great.
But yeah, the daylight really showed off, you know, the fact that Undertaker is ancient.
Yeah, I said when we were watching this, HD did not do him any favors.
Oh, no. No, it did not.
They had one really good spot in that match, though.
What's that?
Whenever Bray Wyatt's doing the spider walk.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And he walks up to Undertaker, who's on the ground. And Undertaker just raises up and looks at him, and then, like...
he does the zombie setup.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt has, like, this oh shit, and then he has a cowering animal type thing. Like, I'm just gonna slowly crawl away.
Kind of awesome,
yeah,
though.
It was pretty good.
Awesome.
But what upset me, and that's a good moment, but then, instead of the Undertaker getting up and whooping his ass, the Undertaker kind of gets up slowly like an old man that just fell and didn't have his, you know, life alert on.
I look like my grandpa getting up off the couch.
He gets up slowly, and he still wins the match. What was the point? Again, Undertaker goes over Bray Wyatt. Wyatt loses. He lost to Cena. Here's another feud that he won't get back. Bray Wyatt will not beat the Undertaker. He cannot come back on this. Now, it came out right before the show that Wyatt had hurt his ankle. And I guess he was getting ready for the show. I didn't get to read too much about this. I kind of heard this during the show that this happened. There was a moment where he kind of looked like he twisted his ankle a little bit and fell down.
Like he tried to stand up, and all of a sudden he's like... on one knee, he's like, ah!
He kind of screamed out in pain.
Yeah.
You know? Do you think that had anything to do with the finish?
I don't think so, because it's WrestleMania. You know they're all hyped up. You know, yeah. Even, you know, who's ever, even if you're Zack Ryder, you don't get a big enough match, you're just a jobber out there.
Which
it
was.
It's fucking WrestleMania. Even if you are hurt, you're going to go out there and give it your all, because it's fucking WrestleMania.
And they did. I mean, Taker and Wyatt gave it their all. I mean, I think the Taker did as much as he possibly could, considering his age and his conditioning. You know, he got hurt last year. He probably didn't want to get hurt again this year. He did not do the jump over the top rope.
Thank God.
Thank God, because he would have died. Yeah. The Scarecrows would have carried him out. Undertaker wins. Bray Wyatt gets buried again. Where does he go from here?
I think I'm going to get proved wrong on that. I think he's going to go somewhere.
There's at least three matches tonight where you and I have disagreed, and we both said, all right, let's see what happens in the next couple weeks. And let's see what happens in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
We'll come back. Give us a month. We'll talk about this again, and we'll see where we go. I want to go to the main event, because this is what I've been waiting to talk about. This is what we've all been waiting to talk about. For a show that was kind of good, kind of bad in places, the main event was the badass, motherfucking best thing I've seen in a long, long time. Jesse, what did you think of that main event? You're smiling already. I like that.
No, it was pretty incredible, especially, you know, as a non-wrestling fan. Like, I get tired of seeing some of, like, the bullshit that happens where... Yeah.
Which,
like,
is the other part of the show.
Right. And, I mean, you get, like, really, really unbalanced-looking matches. Like, there's no way that could ever happen with that. You see, like, all the missed hits, like, all the pulled shots.
Right.
And all this stuff. And, like, it's painfully obvious in some of them, particularly, the Bray Wyatt versus Taker match. That looked atrocious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Bray Wyatt had a couple good shots in there.
There were.
But nothing compared to Lesnar and
Reigns. My God, because they were actually beating the shit out of each other. And it was amazing.
Blood, too.
Like, yeah. Blood everywhere. Like, both of them pouring blood. Roman Reigns, I'm pretty sure, like, he was going to die.
And it was legitimate blood.
And
You know, they do that thing in wrestling. It's called blading. If you listen to a wrestling podcast, I'm sure you know what that is. But it's where they cut themselves intentionally to get the blood flowing. Reigns was pretty much bleeding from the inside. I mean, that was
incredible. From the start. Yeah.
He got bitch slapped.
Yeah, he got...
Oh, really?
And if you think wrestling is fake...
Watch this match.
Yeah. It makes you scared for whoever is in the fucking ring.
Well, it's like, it might be scripted.
It's scripted, I'll give you that. It's predicted.
It's not entirely fake.
No, and it's like Jesse said, it depends on the match.
Depends on who it is, too.
Yeah, because Taker versus Wyatt, total wrestling match. You knew it was fake. Lesnar versus Reigns, from the start, they were pounding each other, Jordan.
Oh,
it looked like they were really beating the crap out of each other.
Lesnar thought he was back in the UFC. I mean, that's all there is to it.
That was beating. Frank
that
Mia
was everything Paul Heyman said it was going to be.
Yeah. At that one point where Lesnar's hanging out of the ropes and Reigns just keeps kicking him.
Oh, yeah.
Lesnar grabs Reigns' leg after he kicks him like the fourth time. And he's like, God damn it, you're really fucking kicking me. And he's like, I'll teach you. And he fucking hits him hard to the ground.
Well, that was entirely revenge, because Lesnar, from the beginning, it looks like Reigns hit him with a clothesline that was a little too stiff. Mm. And Lesnar just throws him in the corner and just starts beating the crap out of him. I mean, it looks legit.
And that's when Lesnar's, like, the first 30 seconds already has
Lesnar's bleeding already. And then they go into this set. I mean, it was an ass whooping. Lesnar gave him the John Cena treatment. He threw him around the ring. He hit what?
Probably, at least 10 German suplexes.
At least 10 German suplexes. Or suplexes in German.
3 F5.
Sweet looking, I want to say perfect plex, but fisherman suplex.
I really did like the number one trend worldwide was Suplex City.
Suplex City, and it was absolutely accurate. Great match. The only bad thing about the match is we're all watching it thinking they're going to fuck this up because Reigns is going to win. Everybody knows Reigns is going to win.
But then I thought at least hopefully Rollins would come out if Reigns did win.
Well, that's what Hunter said. He expected Rollins to come out after Lesnar won, and then we got to set up the finish. They go outside. Lesnar's beating the crap out of Reigns the entire time. Reigns... I don't forget if he threw him into
it. They
were
both in the ring. Well, it was after he delivered the last F5 or the spear. It was one of them, because after Reigns hit him like three times.
Well, no, I'm talking about Superman punch. What set up that though?
Yeah, when Reigns, outside the ring,
Lesnar. What was it, Zach?
It was a suplex because he fell out the bottom of the ring.
Right, and then Lesnar. I can't remember if he ran at him
I think he followed him.
And Zach Kurgis, by the way, sitting in here with us. He's giving us some tips and just generally looking nice. Lesnar goes face first into the corner post, and it looks like he tried to put his hand up, didn't make it, and a split second after he hits it, blood is pouring down his face. Blood's pouring all over the ring. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it looked great.
It happens a lot when Lesnar gets pushed into it. Like, remember when it was he had a feud last time? Or was it Cena? Got shoved into it. blood all down his face, like instantly. It seems like it. I think Lesnar takes that hit seriously. I think. I don't think.
Well, everything he does is serious.
I think he's like, I'm gonna take this shot.
The shots they were throwing at each other looked real. It's like they were having a real UFC fight.
Yeah.
So whenever Reigns starts to make his comeback, it was kind of believable because they had been kicking the crap out of each other. It looked like a real fight.
Mm-hmm.
Reigns hits what, 3 Superman punches? I think maybe 4.
Well, he hits 3. Like the third one gets blocked and reversed.
Right.
And then like. Reigns gets out, and then Reigns hits number 3, like, of 4 attempts.
We got an ambulance coming up behind us here. This is one of the joys of living in Cape Girardeau. That's every day. Reigns is making his huge comeback. He puts Lesnar down. Lesnar kicks out of it, though. Kicks out of, what, 2 spears, I think?
Yeah.
And we're all going, oh, my God, what is going to happen? What is going to happen? And then Seth Rollins' music hits, and we went fucking crazy. We went batshit crazy.
And it was so long. Like, it took forever to announce, hey, he's cashing it in.
Yeah.
We're like, Jesus Christ, just do it already. Just do it.
And then once he finally cashed it in, made it a triple threat, we're like, what are you doing?
Well,
Pin him!
He pushes Reigns out of the ring.
And then stares at him.
We're like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why would you go after Lesnar?
Well, my thought was, okay, Rollins is going to, like you said, Jesse, Rollins is going to win by not pinning Lesnar. That's how they're going to get out of this. But then I thought, oh, what if they have Lesnar pin Rollins? If Rollins fucks himself over, and then Lesnar gets the victory, he stays champion. Reigns doesn't get pinned. He looks good. And that's an okay finish, but I like what they did much better.
Oh, yeah.
Rollins, he puts down Lesnar. Did he pin Lesnar?
No. Like
he pinned Reigns?
Yeah. Yeah, because like Rollins goes in and tries to like hit Lesnar. Lesnar picks him up and sets him up for the F5.
Oh, and then Reigns spears the shit out of him.
Oh my God, that was Goldberg-esque spear.
That was a great spear.
That looked good.
You know,
and then
amen to Reigns. That was an awesome.
That was
spear.
An awesome spear. And then that fucked up Reigns because you know he just speared a brick wall in like 20 minutes.
It was like spearing the tank that Rusev came out in.
And then Rollins was like,
you're
cool,
down there.
I just fell down. Oh, hey, look, there's a Reigns.
Reigns curb stomped him because
he did curb stomp him,
and then he curb stomps him.
So then what that means is Rollins leaves with the championship. He did not pin Lesnar, so Lesnar looks strong because he never got pinned.
He beat the shit out of both of them throughout the whole thing.
Reigns actually looks really good because Reigns went in, everyone hated
him. He survived, took an ass kicking.
He took an ass kicking. I forget who said it was like Tommy Dreamer.
Asa said that.
Yeah, back in ECW, Tommy Dreamer, everyone hated him. He was the pretty boy until he got his ass beat, and then the fans respected him. Lesnar and Reigns, same thing. Reigns comes out of it looking great. Lesnar looked great. Rollins walks away with the championship. Big Dick Rollins wins finally. He gets the championship. I was happy with the show. I was excited. I don't think it was the best WrestleMania ever, but the main event made up for it. I want to get some final thoughts on this thing. I want to wrap this up. We're going to keep it under an hour this time, baby. The whole show, just as an overall, I want to go piece by piece and see what you guys think, and then I'll give my final thoughts there at the end. Zach, we'll start with you.
Overall, I think the show, we're going to disagree on this. You gave it 3.5 stars.
3.5 out of 5.
I'm giving it a 4, maybe a 4.5.
I think it's a little lean.
Going out on a limit here.
God damn it. Put that catchphrase on t-shirt because I want to make some money off that.
I think the show, you know, it had some points where it wasn't good. That had to be do with the sun. You know,
yeah, the lighting was bad.
Big lighting. The fan kind of lost it. But overall, I think we had, what, one match that was only a 2-star?
Yeah.
Every match was a 3.
And what was that match that was 2-star?
Divas.
Divas and Taker, we didn't.
But
Taker is unrateable.
I think it had a great show. Overall, one thing I want to point about the show is the fucking stage sucked.
Yeah, you didn't like the stage.
I hated the stage. It took away from me, too, a little bit.
It was a big stage.
It was a giant stage. It always is. But
plenty of room for The Rock to parade around.
But you just don't put your fucking stage. You just don't have it say WrestleMania. That's the whole fucking stage.
It was pretty bland.
Yeah, it was very bland. That kind of took away from me. Mostly the sun. The fans lost a couple points. And then I give the show a 4.
You were happy.
Like I said in the last podcast, I thought the fans would go home happy. I'm going home ecstatic.
Right on. Jordan, what about you? What's your thoughts?
I really liked it. I'm kind of with Zach. I really think that if the lighting was different for the Taker and Bray Wyatt match, it would have done it a lot better, maybe. Overall, I really liked it. Favorite match, of course, was the main event.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night, what happens on Raw. And
it's
going to
be a hot crowd.
Always is.
Always hot
also,
crowd.
Where does Brock Lesnar go from here? With him signing that new deal, when does he come back? Is he going to go back? Who's he going to feud with?
Will he appear immediately, or will they keep him off TV for a while and then come back to, who does he go after? Reigns or Rollins? Probably Rollins. Because Rollins fucked everything up. but you are happy as well.
Yes.
You went away happy. Jesse, you were the odd man out here because you're not a big wrestling fan, but you looked like you had a good time. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was entertained. It's always entertaining to watch you guys, you know, watch
Thank
this.
You.
Like, it's a show in itself.
Right, yeah, because I know you guys get super into it. Like, I'm having a good time seeing some of the hits. I guess if I was to give it a rating out of stars, I'd probably go 3, 3.5, because I was legitimately bored throughout most of it. Like, each match had, you know, an element of, like, oh, shit, that happened. But realistically,
it was few and far between.
Right. Because, like, and especially, like, the whole Bray-Wyatt-Undertaker match. Like,
right.
Back when I actually did like wrestling, Undertaker was, like, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And I would have really liked to see that, you know, torch passed or something like that. But it just, the whole thing for me was awful. Like, from beginning to end, I hated that match.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, but the final match, fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Ronda doing her thing, like, that made me really happy. And she had a Dragon Ball Z shirt on.
Don't start. Zach,
this is not Penta Nerd, okay?
Fuck you! You invited Penta Nerd here, bitch! Here I am! Over 9,000! Anyway.
Fuck you, Jesse.
You were happy.
Oh, yeah, like, I finished.
Oh, that hadn't been loud for poor Krista. Krista from Penta Nerd is running our broadcast tonight, and her ears are hurting because Jesse has the voice of the Dovahkiin.
He screamed in my ear!
He is the Dovahkiin.
I am what I am. I can't help it.
But you were happy.
I ended up happy. That final match, like, that made me happy.
I got to agree with Jesse. I agree with everybody except Zach, which is kind of part of the course for this show. I thought it was a good event. It wasn't great. Not my favorite WrestleMania. Couple of good spots. None of the matches sucked. Some of them were okay. The main event was awesome and entirely worth the replay.
Better than we thought it was going to be.
Better than we thought it was going to be, and that's the best we can hope for. I'm curious to see what happens in the next couple of weeks. I want to see where these feuds go. Zach, me, you, Jordan, for sure, we'll talk about this. Jesse, I hope you come back and talk about it in the future, the next pay-per-view, maybe. I want to thank Zach. I want to thank Jesse. I want to thank Jordan. I want to thank Krista for being so kind as to do this for us. We couldn't hit up the studio at 99.3 this time with Hunter Hendricks because he's at home. Hunter, I miss you. I want to thank you guys for listening, and I will see you on the next show. We are out. Peace out.
See you.